100 years ago this month, the A.L. Burt Company published Booker T. Washington's autobiography, Up From Slavery. The story of a boy who gained his freedom with the Emancipation Proclamation on New Year's Day in 1863 came to symbolize the struggle of former slaves to find and establish a new place in American society. Washington characterized the challenge in the opening pages of Up From Slavery as he described the first day of freedom for himself and his fellow slaves on a Virginia plantation.
The wild rejoicing on the part of the emancipated colored people lasted but for a brief period, for I noticed that by the time they returned to their cabins, there was a change in their feelings. The great responsibility of being free, of having charge of themselves, of having to think and plan for themselves and their children, seemed to take possession of them. It was very much like suddenly turning a youth of 10 or 12 years out into the world to provide for himself. In a few hours, the great questions with which the Anglo-Saxon race had been grappling for centuries had been thrown upon these people to be solved. These were the questions of a home, a living, the rearing of children, education, citizenship, and the establishment and support of churches. Was it any wonder that within a few hours, the wild rejoicing ceased, and a feeling of deep gloom seemed to pervade the slave quarters?
Washington confronted the traditions of his native South as he labored to earn an education and ultimately to help establish and lead Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. He also confronted opposition from fellow blacks, among them many northern intellectual followers of the era's other dominant black figure, W.E.B. Du Bois. Rutgers University history professor David Levering Lewis is the author of W.E.B. Du Bois, The Fight for Equality and the American Century. He joins us from our New York bureau. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Douglas Brinkley, a regular Weekend Edition contributor, is director of the Eisenhower Center for American Studies and professor of history at the University of New Orleans. He joins us from the studios of AudioWorks in New Orleans. Hi, Doug.
Hi, how are you doing, Leanne?
I'm well. Doug, I think we're going to start with you because historically we'd like you to put the original publication of Up From Slavery 100 years ago in perspective for us. Give us a thumbnail sketch of what was happening in America in 1901.
These are just a few years after the Plessy versus Ferguson decision, which said that you could have separate but equal. And also keep in mind that Booker T. Washington was that generation that had some vague memory of slavery. Granted, he was very young at the time of the Emancipation Proclamation, a little boy, but still he was carrying, if you'd like, the burden of that generation. And I think the book Up From Slavery, when it got published in 1901, was a sensation for a few reasons. White audiences liked it because here was Booker T. Washington giving almost like Ben Franklin's autobiography, a kind of uplifting book for people of living a hard Puritan work ethic of anybody could rise in America from rags to riches. It's all in there in the book. But yet, it also is a very moving portrait of one man's journey in a racist society and the ways that he found opportunities to maneuver around racism to become the leader of Tuskegee Institute. So it had a kind of double whammy when it came out, and it became an instant hit. And at that point, the book set into American culture and has continued for 100 years to influence different types of people, ranging from Marcus Garvey to Rosa Parks.
Professor Lewis, give us your perspective.
Well, for African Americans, I think one has to say that Booker Washington served two masters. One, those who wished to have an agreement between the New South and the industrial and financial centers of the North, and the Booker Washington who, through education and the good work of Tuskegee, tried to advance the cause of his people. Du Bois himself said it well towards the end of his life when he said, "I mistook the fact that Booker Washington, after all, had an experience in the South. He knew the lash of the slave master, and he knew the red soil, clay soil of the deltas, and he spoke faithfully out of that experience, whereas I, a northerner, well-educated, and as Douglas Brinkley tags the word, a modernizer, Victorian though Du Bois was in his personality, represented the future, as it were, and Booker Washington represented a very tenacious past.
I wonder if you see in our society today a combination of the philosophies of the two gentlemen, or you see from decade to decade, certainly as Ishmael Reed said in his introduction to a volume of Up From Slavery said, for example, the 60s belonged to Du Bois, the 90s were Bookerite. I mean, what kind of assessment now, 100 years later, should we be putting on, you know, the actions that were made 100 years ago, as you said, serving as a slave to two masters, but assessing it now in terms of today in the year 2001?
Well, when you said, Leon, that these two philosophies are still in contention, though they have blended, to be sure, I think you were absolutely correct. And depending on the zeitgeist and the decade and the politics of the nation, one gets more tweaked than the other. And I would suppose that Du Bois would be quite unhappy with what is happening now in terms of national policy. And I suppose the Bookerites, that is to say people who are Republicans, would be rather more encouraged. Certainly the emphasis now is on individual initiative. The whole notion of group rights, which animated the 60s, has given way or is giving way to individual rights again. We are a nation now of individuals, not of races. We are colorblind. Affirmative action has served its purpose, so on and so forth. And so if one wants to find in Booker Washington an assent to those policies, he or she certainly can.
Doug? Well, I was just going to disagree, Leanne, with Ismail Reed, saying that the 60s is just Du Bois. I think that if you look at the civil rights struggles, Booker T. Washington has a place. I think he's been written out by the American left in many ways in the academy from his proper dues. But it was Marcus Garvey in England in 1912 and 1914 who said he got his whole notion of that from Up From Slavery, that when Garvey asked himself, where is the black man's government? Where is the black man's navy and military? And Garvey went on to be an incredibly important figure in the 1920s with his Back to Africa movement, which therefore influenced Malcolm X in the 1960s. And on the same token, when I was interviewed Rosa Parks for a book I did on her, her hero was Booker T. Washington, and she grew up in Alabama. She was born in Tuskegee, and her mother made her read Up From Slavery, and it's still Rosa Parks' favorite book. And Rosa Parks and all the black women of the Montgomery bus boycott of 1955, they went to Miss White's Industrial School for Girls in Alabama, and that school was funded by Booker T. Washington from Northern money. And those women of the Montgomery bus boycott were indirectly got their education through Booker T. Washington, and she still thanks him for that, and it's still her favorite book, and of course that's considered the opening salvo of the modern civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. What I'm suggesting is that Up From Slavery is an American classic. It's a book like an Uncle Tom's Cabin or perhaps Upton Sinclair's The Jungle it's not just literature, it's had an effect on the politics and culture of a century. And that it isn't so simple to simply, I think, say it's a decade-by-decade swing. I do believe that the current Republicans in America would prefer Up From Slavery than the autobiography of Malcolm X. But I think they don't always have to be so one side or the other. I think it's a complex book, and it's a wonderful story, Up From Slavery, I think, for Americans to continue reading today.
Douglas Brinkley is director of the Eisenhower Center for American Studies and professor of history at the University of New Orleans. David Levering Lewis is Martin Luther King Jr. professor in the history department at Rutgers University and a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. His biography of W.E.B. Du Bois was published by Henry Holt and Company last October. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.